September 8, 2022, is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Thursday. Started the show off with One Down, One Up, John Coltrane live at Newport. Then we had Death Tape Super Bass with Sun Soaked Hellmouth. Speaking of which, through the miracle of inventiveness of those Estonian developers with their scattered gift, I got Alex Steinmetz. Welcome aboard, Al.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
And the credit we got to for the Kinect.
My friend Graham, or I can't remember what moniker he's using, but he runs the Less Than One net label.
Yeah, and so big thank you. You know, he just put out a Ukrainian benefit thing, right?
Yeah, he did. He was lucky enough to include me on that.
Yeah, so big thanks to Graham.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I want to know about your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollection?
Remember,
you know,
it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Well, you know, my older sisters, were always into like punk bands and stuff. And they would always, I'd always go in their room, look at their CDs and stuff. And, they have it from friends and boyfriends. And, so I got into punk music really early and, kind of took off from there. I would get their old cassette tapes and mixtapes. And
your earliest memory of music is your sister's music. Okay, what about in this pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
I think my dad, like, played acoustic guitar maybe a little bit. My sister was in band. But no one in the family was, you know, super heavy into, like, album collecting or anything.
Well, I meant instruments, like playing.
Yeah. Not a ton. I mean, really just in like the academic sense for my sisters. I started playing bass guitar when I was in middle school and took off in bands from there.
Well, what about before that? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Yeah, you know, I played like upright bass and orchestra when I was in the fourth grade, but I never practiced much.
Did you pick it? How'd you get put on there?
I think they brought a bunch of instruments into school, and I thought bass was the coolest, probably because it was the biggest and the lowest and the deepest.
In what grade?
I think the fourth grade.
Okay, like 10 years old. And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
First record I bought with my own money would have to be, I think it was the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And the first gig you went and saw?
Weird Al, I think, with my dad.
Weird Al Yankovic, right?
We don't want to, Weird Al Yankovic, yeah.
We don't want to confuse him with the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
So you made the switch from the stand-up bass to the electric bass?
Yeah, you know, me and my friends were getting into, like, skateboarding and punk music in middle school, and I wanted to play in bands, because they were already playing in bands, and that was kind of
my ticket.
You were
playing in bands, but you were at the school band, right?
No, they were starting to play, maybe in the sixth grade, they were starting to play in like little punk bands.
No, I was talking about you. You were playing in a band, but it was the school band. Cause I was going to ask you about after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band.
Yeah.
That's what you guys, so what's your first electric bass?
I think it was an Ibanez.
Okay. What kind of amp?
Jeez, probably a crate, probably a little guy.
Okay. Yeah, we always, bass guitar players always start with too small of amps.
Yeah.
Because you need more power people to move low end. Although, they are getting pretty powerful for being small now.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
The one I'm torn with now, or where was I in April? No, it was in April at the Empty Bottle. And the speaker box is 40 pounds. It's 212.
Wow.
From a company called Barefaced in England. At 1,200 watts RMS. Now the head from Bergantino in Massachusetts. It's also 1,200 watts RMS, but it's only 6.5 pounds. So the whole thing is less than 50 pounds. It's really incredible. And especially with me with a bad knee and all crippled up. I like... The people look at it, though, they can't believe it. They think I brought up some crate or something. So, now, of course, on the stand-up, they were teaching you at school, right?
Yeah.
So when you make the switch over to electric bass, do you bring that stand-up bass knowledge on over, or do you get an electric bass teacher?
Yeah, I had an electric bass teacher. I kind of quit orchestra, and just started, you know, bringing CDs into my bass teacher, and he would help me play them on the bass.
Okay.
And
like teach you, show you how they go, like learn from other people's songs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's how me and D Boone learned too.
In fact, yeah,
in early 70s when we were doing this, that's all anybody did. Nobody wrote their own stuff. We didn't
write
anybody until we met people in the movement later on in the later 70s. So I'm going to ask you this about bass. Did you do composing on it?
You know, I started to write, you know, we called them, where we were writing tabs or whatever, I started writing really simple sort of three chord things when I started playing more with my friends. So I started recording, you know, the bass and the power chords. I started playing those on tabs, and soon enough we were starting bands in high school.
We got to tell people, tabs is a way of notating music. People, it's kind of a lame system.
Yeah.
It's kind of terrible. It has hardly any direction on rhythm.
You know, right, exactly.
You know what I mean? You just kind of give you little places on an imaginary fretboard and numbers. I want to play Storm Chasing.
Oh, yeah.
This road wasn't here. This alley wasn't here. The stream became a reservoir. The flood came down the hill past the Catholic Church. This was a stream. It shouldn't be a lake. The bridge is too low. Water can rise past it. Dead branches clog the dam. Sunlight grazes pasture, which was woods, which was a farm, which was a factory. A wall, a plain old wall. The new map lies on the old map. We set the clocks back. A different sun rises over a different ridge. I fall asleep and levitate. Trees lift the roof off the house. I sleep with pines. Their branches are sturdy, but unkind. I don't love you anymore. I don't.
We'll be right back. The iris of the left eye watches over me. The blossoms of the cherry tree. The cadence of the melody embraces me. The sequence is begun. Riders dismount. We'll make a camp here by Jove. The gifts passed down to me. The mystery. Adorned and adored adoration. Oh, the creases on my fingers. New places on my face. Everything accelerates. Don't stop yet. You'll know when the time is right. Trust me. Believe me. Now night is falling, but there's light enough yet to see the shape of all creation. Praise be. The ambiguities. I knew nothing of this book. Chronometricals and horologicals.
Yeah! It's a big old crowd, and I have my regrets. I set a flame to the bridge today. Oh, Jesus, get me then.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Death Tape Super Bass, Storm Chase is the name of the tune. Then brand new from Street Axe, X Amount. Brand new Proj, Agro Dolce with Do You Remember the Factory That Burned? Deerhook, they got a brand new song. My Lovely Cat. Ben Salter from his new record, Countin' Tasmania. Cell Cabin, Besides the Porous Moon, SLW, Bob Bucko Jr., Oh Jesus, and finally, Death Tape Super Bass, the worst version of a bad thing. Okay, so you're writing songs. I guess we should tell listeners. Power chords is a root and a fifth, people. And a lot of the Black Sabbath. But way before that, it's kind of a guitar version of Boogie Woogie. Chuck Berry used it. But they pivot with a six, huh? So, because a lot of guys I know, when they start on bass, they don't really go for chords. They are usually a ostinato, a motif, or a riff, you know?
Yeah.
But Carole Kaye, maybe because she comes from the guitar world, you know, in the old days, a lot of people switched over because there was more work, because no one wanted to rock the bass. So, here's what you do. You learn the chords of the song, and then you arpeggiate through them. That's what the bass is. Yeah. But I think the more common thing is like the bass line, right? You know, I even hear people, if I give them a composition I've done on bass, they call it bass lines. You know? But whatever. Perception is 9/10 of the law, I guess. Whatever they want. But I'm just curious on your meeting there. Now, was it a trio after school?
One of the first bands I played with, or the first band I played with, was me and three other guys.
Quartet.
It was a quartet for sure. And it was sort of, you know, imitation Black Flag or any of the faster 80s hardcore things.
And did this band have a name?
Yeah, that band's name, I think, was Shock Frot. I can't remember what it meant.
Did you guys do gigs, or was it just a practice band?
You know, I probably played like four gigs with them before we were over.
Well, was the first Shock Frock?
Shock Frot. F-R-O-T.
Frot, yeah. Shock Frot was the first Shock Frot gig, your first gig?
For playing? Yeah, definitely.
Okay, do you remember it?
Yeah, it was in my friend's basement, and our sister band let me do vocals on a song, and that was the first time I did vocals.
And what was it like?
That was a lot more exciting to me than playing bass, because after that,
oh, really?
I quit playing bass, and I started just, you know, yelling in hardcore bands for so long.
So you didn't do bass while you were hollering?
No, just I was just doing vocals while the other band played.
Okay. But in Shock Frot, you just did bass.
Yeah, but that was over pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this gig, what, was it just a couple songs? Was it a whole set?
I think it was a whole set. I think we had maybe a 15-minute set in my friend's basement.
And you said we
invited the whole neighborhood.
You said you wrote some of the tunes.
Yeah, I wrote maybe four of the songs, some of the lyrics. But I think most of the lyrics are from the lead singer.
Can you remember the first song you wrote for them?
Yeah, the first song I wrote was Words, and I think it was called I Hate This Place. And I don't remember much of the lyrics, but I'm pretty sure I lifted them for my next band and like transmogrified them into something else.
Now, did Shock Frot ever record?
Yeah, I think there's a demo that I'm not on somewhere, but...
But you never recorded with them.
No, I never recorded with them.
Okay. So you say it's over quick. There's like four gigs.
Yeah, before they kicked me out.
They kicked you out? Why did they kick you out?
I think I was kind of a wild kid, and I was getting into trouble and maybe not agreeing with everyone. I was probably not super agreeable at that point in high school.
And a bass player kind of has to be like,
yeah,
it's in the fucking Spinal Tap movie, right? Like he's fire and he's ice, and I'm like lukewarm shit or something, warm water. Or I can't remember.
Yeah,
Derek Small. God, what's his name? He's also some of the Simpson voices.
Oh, is it Hank Azaria?
Harry Shearer. Right. He had a show here on the radio called Late Show for many years. It would be out after Joe Frank. It was one reason to listen to fucking KCRW, NPR station around here. So, okay, you get kicked out of Shot Front, but you also said you dug singing for that other band, and that made you want to quit bass.
Yeah. I wasn't very good at bass either. I'm not a super
You got to give yourself your time. How old are we talking about? Are you still in junior high here? Or high school?
High school. I was probably...
So you're like 16 years old, right?
Yeah, 15 or 16, yeah.
Okay. But you give up on bass?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not really. Because it's in the fucking name of this current proj.
Yeah.
So, semantically, you stay with the bass. So, what happens after Shot Front? Who do you go to?
I started a punk band called Socially Inept. Okay. In high school, and
now it's going to be your band, right? You're the shot caller. You're going to be kicking people out.
Yeah, I don't think we had any lineup changes, but it was a bunch of kids who were like...
But you could, though. So they just, you put them on notice, right?
Yeah.
No. I wasn't there, so I'm just making this shit up. So now, does this band last longer? Does it do more gigs? Does it do more recording? Do you write more songs?
For sure lasts longer. Lasts for about... 2 years, which is pretty long in you know, high school days.
Sure.
And, we recorded a demo, you know, some stuff on cassette that I've got at home.
Like a little four-track, cassette four-track?
I think we recorded straight into one mic.
Oh, okay, mono.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And, do you remember the first Socially Inept gig?
First Socially Inept gig? Yeah, I think it was in my parents' garage.
Okay, so you moved from the basement to the garage. And how'd this one go? How'd this one go?
That one went pretty good. I think my amp almost got, or the amp I had lent to my guitarist, almost got broken by another band.
Because you're just lead singer, right? You're not working any instrument?
No, but I think someone had my bass at that point. I think someone was using my bass.
Okay, in the band.
Yeah.
Okay, and using the crate.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what happens to this band?
That band, you know, we played some church shows. We played some, or like, you know, church basement shows. We played some local suburban venue shows. And then we broke up near the end of high school because everyone's going to college.
Right.
I didn't go to college, but I formed one last punk band, I think, before I was, doing less punk stuff and doing more electronic stuff.
You know, in 70s punk, there was a lot of electronic.
Yeah.
Throbbing Gristle.
Yeah, Throbbing Gristle and, you know, Suicide were kind of my
main. Suicide. Nervous Gender called themselves synth punk.
Right.
Okay.
You and like Screamers.
They were, and Scream, I don't know if they did, but I know for sure Nervous Gender said synth
punk. Oh, yeah. I just meant Screamers.
I think Screamers just said punk.
Yeah.
Because they started off as a singing group, right? Tupperwares.
Right.
And actually, the Mentors are their first band. And then they get the electronic guys. But... what I'm trying to say is, I don't even think there was, some bands didn't have any instruments. There was a cat named Zev. In fact, there was a cat there in Chicago who took care of Zev in his last days because of the cancer. Mm-hmm. And this guy would just hang pieces of metal and be all percussive and violent with it and almost get killed by this shit.
Yeah.
So it's trippy when I hear things like this. Oh, I had my punk band and now I'm at my electronic band.
Right.
Like punk is a... Well, I guess it is a genre. I always think of it more of a state of mind than a style of music because I come from the place where punk had so many ways of doing it.
Definitely. Yeah, I guess people are more like hardcore
bands. I'm not trying to say you're wrong or anything.
Oh, you're no, okay, I totally get what you're saying.
Okay, you understand. Okay. So maybe the listeners, too, get a little bit of that. I'm not trying to be right here, people. I'm just trying to – it's a trippy thing, you know. In those days, the semantics were really important because, for one, being a Pedro guy, that word punk was a guy who got fucked in jail for cigarettes. We couldn't believe anybody would call their music that.
Yeah.
But for another thing, it was a real big deal in those days about how you were labeled. And I think we're a little looser on that these days.
There's
still labeling and stuff, but I think we are a little more loose as far as identity and tribal and, like, just won't even give something a shot without listening, you know. There was a lot of that shit in those days where you would dismiss stuff right off the bat without even hearing it.
Right.
Because, you know, disco sucks. Why? You can't dance? Like, you hate the Village People? You don't like the way they're dressed? All
right. Right.
So, that's why I bring that up. Just tripping on it. So, this third band is called what?
The third band was called Happiness.
Whoa. See a little evolution of the band name thing.
Yeah.
Now, this is your band, or is this one you joined?
This was a third band that I formed.
Okay. Well, I thought you joined the first. You actually.
Oh, sorry. This was the third band, and I formed it.
Okay. Yeah. And did these guys do gigs? Did they record?
Yeah, we recorded like a 10-song demo, I think, or a 10-song self-titled album.
And how would you say it's different than the other two bands? Well, you're the lead singer, man, so it's kind of like the second band.
Yeah, kind of. This was out of high school, so it was a little bit noisier. It was. A little bit faster.
That's funny because people might think that the earlier band might be noisier. Okay. But no, you know, what is noise? I think John Cage said something like, you try to talk to somebody and even though there's a beautiful Mozart thing going on in the background, it's noise. Cause it's
right.
You're spieling stuff. And do you remember the first gig that To Happiness played?
Yeah, I think it was at some venue in Chicago proper, and I think it was at Locked Out. It was a stage. I remember that.
Okay, and how would you say Happiness was different than Socially Inept?
I think the lyrics were a little less, in my mind at the time, they were less amateurish.
And you're the wordsmith, right? So you're evolving lyric-wise?
Yeah, and they were definitely more introspective and sort of angrier, you know, admittedly.
Well, that phase of life, too, huh?
Right, exactly.
It's okay. It's very, very okay. Okay, we're at the end of first hour. September 8, 2022, edition of Pedro Show, special guest Alex Steinmetz. Hold tight for hour two. September 8, 2022. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
wild monkey appear.
Wild monkey appear.
Even if you fight, you can't win.
You can't win.
Even if you fight, you can't win.
Even if you
fight, you can't win. Wild monkey appear. Wild monkey.
Thank you.
from Beaver Show. We start off the second hour, Death Tape Super Bass with Fog Rising. Then Sam Bennett out of Tokyo via Birmingham. Ah, yes, Sun Ra was from, Sonny Blatt was from Birmingham, Alabama. And then, but he does his music thing in Chicago.
Fletcher right.
Anderson. Yeah, oh, so you read the John Zweig book, Space is a Place? He's really good.
No, I haven't read it.
Okay. That's really interesting. He was on the South Side. They're like working strip clubs.
Yeah, Sun Ra's incredible.
Yeah, his story is pretty amazing. One time, me and Raymond Pettibone, he's doing some, it's some club in New York City. Raymond had a show, and it was awkward and shit. So we go down the street, and he's doing this trippy-ass version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And we're all bourboned up. We end up in a fucking conga line with him. I know. Okay. Srnazuk. Yeah, excuse my Croatian. I think this might be still Yugoslavia. It's eponymous, right? The name of the song is the name of the band. Eli Winter, Chicago Cat, last dude I had on the show a couple days ago. Davidin in Threes. Let's Go to Space from Northern Jaw. That's SoCal. Strong Beach, I think. Alex Paxton with Corn Crack Dreams. And finally, Death Tape Super Bass. Welcome. Okay, so what makes happiness fold up?
I think members moved on to different stuff.
Oh, same. Oh, sort of like Socially Inept, except that was just graduating high school.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a common theme here where people are.
Right. So maybe no, because I'm guessing that Death Tape Super Bass is kind of man alone.
Yeah, it's a solo effort.
Yeah. So maybe this is the way things were leading to. You don't have to deal with that shit. Like John Coltrane, when he got, you know, he was following all these chords, so, you know, kind of bothering his improvising. I'm just going to stay in one chord.
Yeah, I mean you can play every day if you play alone.
Okay. Right. We should be pracking alone anyway, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Is Death Tape Super Bass the next proj after Happiness?
Roughly, you know, there's like some there's some solo tapes and there's some one-off.
You're monikers, talking about under but Alex Steinmetz.
Yeah, or under I played under a bunch of names early on, you know. Noise musicians just love to have different different names.
Here's the arc I'm thinking. Bass, lead singer, and now what's the main, when you say noise, when lots of things are capable of that.
Right. I would say early on I started off doing more like tape manipulations
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like Polito.
Yeah, you know, I
would
really...
You know I'm talking about, Polito? That song on fucking the Dinosaur record?
Oh, no, I don't know that one specifically.
Okay, there's a song, the last song, I think it's the second Dinosaur album, and it's Lou Barlow, and it's his solo song, and he's like overdubbing on two cassette decks, so the hiss is like bigger than the sound and shit.
Right.
Is that what you do? You use take a quarter as an instrument?
A little bit. I would use 8 tracks, kind of like Aaron Dillaway. I was really into Aaron Dillaway.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
straight,
he's been on
just
the show.
Straight copying.
He's a really interesting guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would use 8 tracks, and then like I think one time I recorded an alarm clock, and I just kept duplicating the tape until like it inverted, and the hiss became louder than the actual beeping. So the beat switched between the empty noise being the thump.
Right.
The
syncopation, yeah.
Yeah.
Takes a cue off another source.
And then,
that's,
you know,
that's a trip because it's kind of something you set up and then you just see how nature and physics result in the answer.
Right.
Yeah, that's a trip. You just get it in motion. Get like, yeah. Like a Cajun kind of thing, you set it up. That's almost as important as the actual execution.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, I was getting really into process and still am. And
you know what? I found some stuff on YouTube.com. I'm going to play this. It's a short one. It's like reminding me of Minuteman. It's called Dirt.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Deck Tape, Super Bass, Dirt. Name of the tune. North Suka after that with Don't Do the Charleston, God Damn. Then Tragic Assembly out of Chapel Hill. Sounds Fine. Plus Dog Plus with Loneliness Screening. Rubber O Cement with Cardio Foam Begins to Pulse Out, Pancreatic Irritations, Pile Style. What a fucking title. Ott, out of Texas with Unfreezing Trompe L'Oeil. Pardon, French-speaking people. I didn't mean to ruin the language. Ray Shin with 8-Ball. And finally, Death Tape Super Bass, Sunlamp. So, Death Tape Super Bass, do you have any performances? Or is it like just coming up with... You know, you're finding your voice.
You know, it started off as just like a bedroom thing.
Yeah, recording, okay.
I've under Death Tape Super Bass, under that specific moniker, I've only played once.
Wow.
And that was more recently. But I've been
so all
recording.
All the other time, it was just to produce, like the Steely Dan thing.
Yeah, it was just like recording for like 7 years, just kind of. Just recording at home onto the computer.
And tell me about process for composing. You got a notebook, a lyric, or musical ideas, or picture scheme, schematics?
Well, like these days, it really is just I record everything, and then about, you know, a 30th of it or 100th of it actually make it onto the album. So I'm just always recording and just always improvising.
And a lot of editing.
And a lot of editing, yeah.
Okay, so you start out with too much and then you thin the herd.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, like if you're woodworking, right? If you remove that wood, you can't put it back. So it's good to start off with too much, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Totem pole and stuff. What about titles?
Titles are always last. I mean, you know, it's so different from when I did vocals in bands because I don't really focus on narratives. Or I think there's one track I sent you where I'm doing where I'm speaking,
yeah.
But just about none of it has my voice in it. It's all synthesizer.
But so. I've had guests on that use written language,
right,
to like script their music, even though there's no lyrics.
Yeah, I'd say sometimes it's just what sounds good. It's something that's usually personal to me. I don't. None of it's super. I think going to be relevant to the listener. I think you can kind of take what you get from it, just because I don't. It's usually something that means something to me, but isn't very apparent in the music in terms of the titles.
Now, did you ever get into synthesizers?
Yeah, I play modular synthesizers,
It's
pretty much all I'm using these days.
Okay. So, but yeah. You never went the route of the keyboard, the fake keyboard Casio thing?
I started getting way more interested in, like...
Because when I hear modular, to me, for some reason, it sounds more pure synthesizer. These other ones with the keyboard, it's like they're trying to fake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you tied them down to a certain purpose. And they don't seem to be as free. Yeah, have you ever heard this lady, Delia Derbyshire?
Yeah, of course.
She was really against synthesizers, but she was an electronic music. She thought it should all be done with tape.
Yeah, exactly.
And oscillators.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Graham and I were lucky enough to work with Delia Derbyshire Day, and there was a little online game they created.
Oh, that's right. They have a kind of a festival or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They had a little. Danny Tootie was talking about that.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, but one of the Throbbing Gristles.
Yeah.
I, you know what? We're at that point again. We're at the end of the second hour. Well, not again. But we are at the end of the hour. It's the second hour. September 8, 2022 edition. Watt from Pedro Show. Special guest, Alex Steinmetz. Hold tight for hour three. September 8, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Not just our common enemies. Work together to make us better and our situation.
bother me no more. I'll send you back your letters, I'll send you back your ring, but I'll never forget my own true love as long as songbirds sing, as long as songbirds sing. I'll go tell all my brothers, tell all my sisters too, that the reason why my heart is broke is on account of you, is on account of you. Go on your way, be happy, go on your way and rest, but remember, dear, you are the one I really did love best, I really did love best. Go away from my window, go away from my door, go away, and bother me no more, and bother me no more.
Joe Shelby started the third hour off with... this is another Proj. Telharmonium.
Yeah.
Continuum Sweeps. And then Hot Pursuit of Happiness. That's Tom's new Proj. Individual Like You. St. Hubert's Key with Who Chooses. Miriam Gendron out of Quebec. Go Away From My Window. Sounds like a lyric Bobby Dylan song. It Ain't Me, Babe, right? Go away from my window. Take what you... That's a brainwash. Some indoctrination on what when he's a boy. And then finally, Death Tape Super Bass with Electric. So enlighten me to this Telharmonium.
Telharmonium is me and my friend Jan Yurchak.
Yeah.
And he mostly uses a piano on that project, but he's more of like a hip hop beat maker type guy.
Okay. And what's the process? You guys, do you trade files or are you in the same room?
For Telharmonium, we traded files because okay. I think that was during COVID and also we're in two different states.
Ah, where's he at?
He's in Philly.
Okay. Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a little bit away, but and, trade some file. Bill Nace, Philadelphia. Let me ask you this. It's an improvised proj.
Yeah.
Who goes first? Or who decides who's going to go first? Or do you take turns?
I think we took turns on this one.
And how did you meet each other?
I was living, for 3 years, I lived in Valencia, California.
Oh, wow.
While my wife went to CalArts for experimental.
I was going to just say CalArts.
Yeah.
Because I knew you probably weren't a groundskeeper at Magic Mountain.
No, I was a baker, but I was right by Magic Mountain. Yeah,
yeah I know that. But a lot of good music people. Leo Wadada Smith, right, is CalArts. There's a lot of good stuff that comes out of there. A lot of good stuff. And punk stuff, too. I think the suburbs. Going way back at the beginning of the movement, you had some people from there. Okay, so a fellow musician at CalArts?
No, I didn't go to CalArts. My wife did.
Your wife did. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it's guilt by association.
Yeah.
No, it's all right. But interesting. So has there ever been a Telharmonium gig?
No, there hasn't. So far it's been that one album, but we're trying to get back at it soon.
Okay. And now, you also gave me, we're going to play the next and the last chunk of music for this edition, Polavox.
Yeah, that's me and Graham.
Okay. And people, Graham's been on the show. And in fact, we thanked him at the beginning for the connect that we're doing right now. Okay. Yeah. And how did you meet Graham?
So Graham contacted me first. I had done a remix on Bandcamp for something, and he asked me if I would do a remix of some of his previous work.
Oh, so he knew you for your music?
Yeah,
Or the remixing skills?
Yeah, I had done some remixing. I think just using, your standard DAW.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's a good way to put it there. And it's like when people say Google it. No, use a search engine, asshole. Don't brand it. Don't be a fucking shill, right? Okay, let's keep people from waiting to hear the Polavox. But first, one more Death Tape Super Bass.
subject, biological imbalance in an upland Arizona valley.
Watt for Pedro show, last chunk of music for this edition. Started it off with Death Tape Super Bass doing Box Spring Electro. Did you use an actual box spring?
No, I can't remember where I came up with that title from.
Asked that because two musicians I ended up playing with, that's how they met, was some experiment. I think it was at a music university that they were both part of. And they had, one was a drummer and one was a guitarist, but it was experimental, right? So they're playing these box springs, they told me, with little contact mics on it. Mold them, and Al Balmore after that with Pool Cess. I get it. Reverse Funeral. Get that? They're not random order people. Thurston Moore and John Maloney. John Maloney now has been road boss for Jay Mass, a dinosaur. Polavox. I think they started a tour up pretty soon. And then Polavox, what we were talking about before, the music people. Pol, people, Latin. Vox, kind of sounds like German for people. People, people. No wonder. But a polis is also a city. Yeah, polis is city.
Well, we named it after the old synthesizer, the Russian synthesizer.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a Ruski name. Yeah, okay.
So multi-voice.
Yeah. Because people, at first, there was a problem. I guess if you wanted them to be like fake keyboards, you couldn't like play more than one note.
Right, they're monophonic, yeah.
But so is a trumpet, unless you fucking really overblowing that mouthpiece. And this was called Bological Imbalance.
Yeah.
Now tell me the process here. Was it Trading Files?
This one was Trading Files, and this one was me first, I believe.
But he contacted you because of the remix thing, right?
Oh, well, this is like the fourth album Graham and I have done together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I was talking more about the early days, and this one's down the road a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
What, do you have a fifth one planned?
Yeah, right now we're working on, or we just finished a Raymond Scott sort of remix album.
Yeah.
So we took Raymond Scott work.
This is a lot more current of a proj than Telharmonium.
Yeah, Telharmonium's, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but you want to restore it. And then Death Tape Super Bass, that's just always there for you because it's you.
Yeah, it's just me.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a resource, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to say holding pattern. Now where you mentioned Bandcamp camp a few times. So is that your main presence on the internet? Or is there a Alex Steinmetz website?
There is a deathtapesuperbass.com.
Okay.
But all great. The music's up at Bandcamp. That's just what it links to.
Yeah. But there's probably links there that take people to that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so deathtapesuperbass.com, people. And it's like having your own fanzine when you got your own website, right?
Right.
Right. You could staple up flyers on those commercial telephone poles, but
yeah.
Always have your own fanzine. Yeah. Also, parallel universe, I think. I know I'm a little evangelist about that, but I thought it was one of the good things that was going to come out of the internet, not just spreading lies and hate, but having your own fanzine. Yeah. Okay. What do you got musically going for the future? We heard about the project with Graham, and then coming back with what was his name? Jan.
Jan. Yeah.
Jan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What else you got going?
Right now it's just Death Tape Super Bass stuff, and Graham and I are working on more stuff too.
Okay. Which you said is like a remix record with this. Scott,
Raymond Scott. He did a lot of like early electronic stuff, kind of pre-Vogue.
I think I've read about it. Believe it or not, in the 70s, there was a station, it's still here, the station, but they had shows like one of them was named after John Cage, Imaginary Landscape, and it was Carl Stone. And I got to hear all this crazy ass music on Friday nights, you know, real late. And then there's another one called Tesseract. And they would play this really, you know, Deutsche Grammophon and Hat Hoot and all these things.
Yeah.
So when the movement comes in 76, I kind of had my mind opened up by this experimental music. Meanwhile, you know, right, I'm seeing Arena Rock, first gig is T-Rex, you know, it's a weird mix. You know, at the end of the day, music's music. And that's why I like to have all these different kinds of cats on the Watt from Pedro show. So we get free of those Berlin walls and gulag shit about labeling things.
Right.
You know? Okay. And so tell me about this latest iteration of Death Tape Super Bass. You think it's going to be a sea change from the last stuff?
You know, it's always constantly evolving. It's always changing just because processes change, and I try to go for different processes on different albums. Nothing strict, but, you know, sometimes it's reworking a bunch of different hours of stuff, and sometimes it's just recording a straight live piece. And
The whittling thing, right, with too much.
Yeah.
When you start, look, when you get the next one together, I'm very curious, because will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about the tunes and stuff and get into a Death Tape Super Bass album?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Thank you so much, Alex. Truly, keep on keeping on. People, September 8, 2022 edition, Watt Pedro shall keep your powder dry.